you like to start reading, one of you guys? Yeah, we'll have prayer first.
Father, just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day. We give you all praise, all glory, all honor, Father. We thank you for who you are, what you are, Father.
Yes.
Father, we ask that you bless both services today, Father.
Yes.
You bless your people all over this earth, Father. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Your turn, right?
Yeah, I forgot where we left off at.
20.
Verse 20.
We went to Matthew 15:15-20. That's what I read.
Okay, so 21.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 15, and we're starting with verse 21. And going away from there, Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman who was a Canaanite from that district came out and with a loud, troublesome, urgent cry, begged, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is miserably and distressingly and cruelly possessed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and, kneeling, worshipped him, and kept praying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right, proper, becoming, or fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little pups eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was cured from that moment. And when Jesus went out from there and passed along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, then he went up into the hills and kept sitting there. And a great multitude came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the dumb, and many others. And they put them down at his feet, and he cured them. So, you want me to go on?
Where'd you get to?
About 31.
Yeah, we probably should
stop
there. Okay, what do you guys think about that scripture?
The one where the woman said to him when he said to her that I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came kneeling and worship, saying and praying, and he answered that it was not right or proper, becoming or fair, to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.
Yeah.
Explain that. I've always wondered about it.
Well, first of all, you know, we know that Jesus came because he was the Messiah. He came to the house of Israel first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had the opportunity to receive him, but he knew that they wouldn't receive mm-hmm. him, you know. And so literally when when that woman came beseeching him to heal, you know, heal a little daughter, when she came beseeching him for that, you know, and she answered him, you know, even dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table, you know. And he said that he had not seen such great faith, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And literally she did have faith, you know, when she came beseeching him. And You know, I think that if you really think about that, he initially had to come to the house of Israel, the natural Israel.
And they said she was a Canaanite.
Yeah.
You know, they said
right.
that. They
right.
didn't have to put the, but they said they put that in there.
Yeah.
That she was a Canaanite.
Yeah, she was a Canaanite, so she wasn't of the house of Israel, really. Mm-hmm. You know, and well, if she was a Canaanite, then that literally she was a probably a descendant of Cain. Mm-hmm. You know, Cain's the Abel, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
and so on and so forth. So, but that just goes to show that, you know, even though Jesus had initially came to the house of Israel, and we know what it says on up in the New Testament where it talks about, where Paul talks about, they're not all Israel which are Israel,
yeah.
you know, but in Isaac shall your seed be called, you know, mm-hmm. see the promise. And, you know, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but one inwardly, circumcision is of the heart, not mm-hmm. of the flesh. You know, that was all going to come to light gradually, but he had to come to them first, and they rejected him, you know. And in the Gospel of John, it says, you know, he came unto his own, which would have been the Jews at that time, but his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, and that took in basically everybody when they said that, to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, or to come into being sons of God, you know. And we know that he was sent to all of mankind,
yeah.
but initially he focused on the Jews because the covenant was with them, you know, initially. And you know, it's like I've told you all the story, and I'll be quiet in a minute. If you got anything you want to say, if you want
yeah,
to say, go ahead.
I was looking on her where it said, but she knew his lineage.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she called him, O Lord,
uh-huh.
Son of David.
Son of David, yeah.
So she knew
yeah.
he was in the line.
Well, see, even you know, even the it's like today. I was watching a thing on television the other day, and they had these Christian people, girls, talking to a Jewish girl and a Muslim girl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Muslim girl didn't say too much. But the Muslims, they know Jesus was a prophet or whatever. They don't claim him to be the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
but they rank him as a prophet. And they sort of honor the scriptures, you know,
mm-hmm.
but they think the scriptures are polluted because they've been so, you know, written by so many people, different people and stuff. And, you know, the Jews are just right on the law, just the law, you know. And that's that, but those girls were witnessing to them about Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to, you know, get them to, get them tangled up, the Christian people tangled up. But the girls did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they were the Jewish people were having a problem with him being being God, Jesus being God. And the one girl quoted him out of Genesis. She says, well, you know, she says, it says in the beginning.
Which girl is this?
The Christian. Jewish girl.
Mm-hmm.
She said, in the beginning, it says, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. And she said, and the name for God there is the word Elohim,
mm-hmm.
which is a plural name, mm-hmm. you know. And she tried to explain the Trinity. And she said it's all God, which is right. She was right in saying that, you know. And, you know, years ago, the Lord gave me an explanation for that. And the explanation was, you know, basically, and I've shared this with you all
mm-hmm.
different times, is that, you know, if you know me as Oscar, you know me as Brother Oscar,
mm-hmm.
spiritually Brother Oscar. You know, my wife knows me as Junior Honey,
yeah.
or Honey, you know.
Yeah.
My kids know me as Dad. My mother knows me as Son, you know. And anytime that you deal with those and different particular people, you take on the personality of how they know you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I explain the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is all God.
Yeah.
It's just aspects of his personality.
Yes.
And if you go into the actual names of God in the Old Testament, see, because every time that you see a name back there, it's not always the same name, it's different names. And if you go into all the different names, it'll be Jehovah, it'll be El Elyon, it'll be El Shaddai, it'll be all these different names, you know. And all that is saying, it's a different character that he presented himself to, see. And, you know, let me read you something just to kind of emphasize that a little bit. If I go back and see if I can find it real quick. I think it's in Exodus. Let me read you this. You know, Abraham did not know God as Jehovah. Now, that makes a lot of people say, whoa, wait a minute. Well, I'm going to read you something here in a minute when I find it. I have to go back and get it. Let's see here. Yeah. Exodus chapter 6. Glasses, so bear with me a little bit here. It says, and when the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do with Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. And God spoke unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah, I was not known of them. And you know, so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't know him as Jehovah. They only knew him as God Almighty. And in the Old Testament, please?
Here in the Amplified, it after says, but my name, wait a minute, Jacob as God Almighty, then it has in parentheses, El Shaddai. Uh-huh. That, I guess that's another name for God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord,
Let me go back in. And
Yahweh.
They did not know me, which was the name Yahweh and Jehovah are the two names. You know, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what they say. Yeah, that's what.
Yeah.
And Yahweh is said as the redemptive name
of God.
Yeah.
Of God.
Wait just a minute. Let me get back here and I'll show you here. I'll show you what it says. Let's see, Exodus 6.
He had other names that he was called.
Yeah,
I can't remember them all.
There's a lot of them. There's Elohim. There's that. Elohim is the plural name for God. Elohim, and there's El Elyon. There's El Shaddai. There's Eloah. There's a whole bunch of them. You know, but those names were usually used when he was showing himself in that particular vein. Now let me read this to you if I can get here. Okay. And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by my name, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah I was not known of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let me read to you here. I'll show you here. Okay. The name, God Almighty, is El Shaddai.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that it, that literally, that's the name that was there in Hebrew, you know. Mm-hmm. If you go back in Strong's and look it up, it's El Shaddai.
Yeah.
You know. And Shaddy, sometimes I ought to teach on this, sometimes I think I probably have in the past.
We had a paper, I don't know whether it was ever from Rich or something, and it was telling all all the different names.
I have a lot of stuff like that too.
I think he gave to us in class one time.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, Shaddy is a word that literally has like the breasted one, mm-hmm. Okay? And when you realize that El Shaddai meant the irresistible, I've got a definition of that, and I don't have it in this particular Bible, but it means the irresistible, the forth putting, the outgoing force or power of God. And in the Old Testament, every time that somebody had an encounter with El Shaddai, their name was changed.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that their character, their nature was changed after an experience with El Shaddai.
That's the way with Abraham. I thought his name was Abram.
It was Abram, and he had an encounter with God Almighty,
mm-hmm.
and his name was changed from Abram, which Abram means high father.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Strong says. I've heard some other people give different definitions of that. But that, I usually go by what the Strong says. Mm-hmm. And High Father. Abraham means father of a multitude.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Jacob's name meant heel catcher. His name was changed to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The difference, heel catcher and just, we, you know, a lot of people say deceiver, supplanter, all that too. But when his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, when he wrestled with the Lord, it says, with God Almighty, if you go back and read about it, you have to kind of fish it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you go back and you read it, and he had an encounter with God Almighty, and his name was changed from, he said, he told him, he wrestled with him supposedly, you know, I mean, from mm-hmm. what it says there, he wrestled with him. And it says that he threw his hip out of joint, you know. And it says, he said, I'll not let you go until you, he said, what's your name? Yeah, until you bless me. And he said, what's your name? God asked him, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, from henceforth, your name will be Israel. See, he had, you know, he shall rule as God is what that means. He shall rule as God. A lot of people say prince or prevailer and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, if you look up the definition of the word, it means he shall rule as God.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so everybody that had that encounter with God Almighty, you know, their nature was changed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that I think the name El Shaddai too, it Shaddy literally means, it comes from a word, or the breast, it means the breast.
Mm-hmm.
Who usually in a family loves the children more or shows more love to the children in their way than the man, the woman? When Jesus appeared in Revelations, and John turned around and he saw him, and he described what he saw, he says his hair was white like wool, his eyes were like a flame of fire, his breasts were covered as about with gold, you know. Well, the word for breast there is female breast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not man's breast, female breast. And what was he really showing there when in Revelations? He was showing the love nature of God, the motherhood nature of God. The one, what did he pray when he stood over Israel? He said, how often would I gather you as what?
Mother hen.
Mother hen does gather her brood, and you would not. Henceforth your house is left unto you desolate until you say, blessed is he that comes, what? In the name of the Lord. That nature, that character, that, you know, all that means. And, you know, so when you realize Jesus was showing that love nature of God, and he said, glorify, when he told him, he said, the glory you've given me, the glory of being a son of God, I've given it to them. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. Mm-hmm. Well, what was the glory he had with the Father, before it was? What did he tell Thomas when he was doubting Thomas where it was? When you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father.
Yes.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, and Christianity out there don't really teach all that, because they've tried to separate. They you know, the one of the problems that the Jews have with Christianity and the teaching about Jesus is that they want, Christianity throws the three persons of God out there and makes them three distinct individual, and it's not really that. It's not really that. No, when it says no man has seen God at any time. Now, I believe in the sense of the fullness of God, what he is, you know, spiritually, what, how does it describe him? It describes him as a wind. You know, what did he, how did he create man? He took up the dust of the ground, or the clay of the ground, or whatever, and he did what? He breathed into him the breath of life. And they were talking about the Spirit of God. Well, when the Spirit of God, you don't see the Spirit of God, but what you see is the movement that it does, just like the air, because he said it's like the air. You know, the wind blows where it lists, but, you know, and that, you know, when you come to understand some of that stuff, it's so simple. It's really simple. And it's so simple that people that are super educated stuff can't grasp it. Because they've been told this more elaborate story, and they can't get a hold of it. But anyway, Shaddai, it's El means large, mighty one, basically, and Shaddai has the tendency to mean, like, it has the meaning if you follow it out, like literally like a female breast, you know, and. You know, it's what it's really telling you there. He was the love nature. You know, let me give you the, I'll give you the Strong's definition of that. But I've got another definition of that in another Bible that is so, it's even better than this one. Strong's definition of the word Shaddai, that or Shaddai, that's where the half of that word is. It's a combination of two words. Primitive root, properly meaning to be burly, powerful, impregnable, to ravage. It says it can destroy, but it goes on and it's just telling you that it's a really powerful thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'll get you the definition of that out of the one of the translations I've got. Can't think of the name of the Bible, but I'll give you that sometime. I'll try to remember to print a couple of them, and I'll give it to you. And man, it's good. I mean, it says the irresistible force of the outgoing, you know, and I mean it's so good. But you know, but a lot of this stuff, you know, when you tell people that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't know him as Jehovah. They said, well, that's not right. No, it is right. It says it right here. God told him, you didn't know me. You knew, you know. He's telling Moses here, they didn't know me as Jehovah.
Yeah.
They knew me in that sense. Well, those guys were the founding fathers of the Jewish nation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, God spake unto Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob as God Almighty. But in my name Jehovah, I was not known of them. In other words, they didn't know him as Jehovah. And a lot of people, they have a real problem with that, but there's no problem with it. The Word declares it. That's God speaking right there, you know, in the Word. He's speaking to Moses, you know. But, it, you know, some of the stuff is, you know, the traditions of the elders literally do make the Word of God of no effect, you know, to a certain extent sometimes, you know. And if you go on down through here, and Jacob's name, you know, basically means heel catcher, supplanter, you know, and it's got some other things here, and it. But anyway, you know, and heel catcher was, from what I gather, was that when his brother was born, he literally had a hold of his heel and was trying to pull him back in so he could be first.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that. I believe that. But, you know, he didn't have to really do anything to get the blessing, the true blessing of God. Because God already had spoke to his mother and told him, Jacob have I loved, and he said, Esau have I hated. But it's not that he hated Esau. He hated the nature of Esau, you know, the attitude that he had, that nature. And it was that fleshly nature, you know, the carnal nature that we all wrestle with and stuff. But anyway, we'll get back to where we were. We were talking about the bread, you know, falling from the table, you know.
Yeah.
And, but when you realize that further up in Scripture, the explanation of that is, you know, is they're not all Israel, which are Israel, but in Isaac shall your seed. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, maybe this will help you a little bit here too, where he said, howbeit that which is natural was first, and that which is spiritual came second. Now, let me tell you, God did not bless the firstborn son, usually. He blessed the secondborn son. Now, that sounds like a contradiction when you take in Romans 8 chapter when it says about Jesus that he was the firstborn among many brethren. But you have to realize that when he came as a man, he was the second man. You know? Mm-hmm. So because Adam was first, albeit in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, albeit that which is natural was first, that he was of the earth, earthly, he was a soulish man. And then the second Adam was the Lord from heaven. And we bore the image of the earthly, now we got to bear the image of heaven. So it always goes back to the second born son. God's going to bless the second born. That's why when Jacob, you know, they brought Joseph brought his two sons before his father Jacob, and it says he brought his sons before his father Jacob. Basically, and I'm paraphrasing this, but he says, but Israel beheld him, not Jacob, Israel. Well, why did he say that? Why are they using the both names there? He brought them in the natural before his father, but the one who had his nature changed to he shall rule as God, he knew to bless the second born son.
And he crossed
his hands. And what I'm trying to think of what the meaning of their names was. The firstborn son meant causing to forget. And the secondborn son meant dual portion, double fruited. And what did Jesus said? He said we're to get a double portion of his, what he did. These works that I do shall you do, and what?
Greater
works. See, so I mean it's all really fits together when you see it, you know. And you know, it's but the church, most of the church out there don't see it yet.
No.
They don't, and Some do, but a lot of them don't. And, you know, it's going to come down to a place of that he'll reveal it to them eventually, you know, if the things that they need to see. And we can't, and we should never fault a natural church, because you can't tell somebody, you know, you can't tell a blind man, shame on you for being a blind man, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can say to somebody who won't see that can see, you know what I mean? We had a minister come through here one time, and, you know, he had a prophetic ministry where he would prophesy to people, and he mentioned something in Ephesians about, you know, Scripture says we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and until we come into the unity of the faith, you know, unto a really mature man. And that endeavoring to keep you, he mentioned that endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he says, well, you know, he threw this out thinking that nobody would know the answer. And he threw it out and he says, well, what's the next step there? And I said, well, you have to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that you might come into the unity of the faith. And he was really surprised that I said that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't even know if I was even the elder back then, but the Lord had revealed that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and I talked to him later on, and he wouldn't preach sonship, but he saw it. But he when he first saw it, he got so much flack about it when he tried to preach about sonship, mm-hmm. that he backed off. See, and there again, that's something, I hate to say this, but that's something where you chose to be blind in that sense.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying there? He sees it, he understands it, but he won't preach it, and he won't say it because, and this was many years ago, so I mean, maybe today he might be out preaching this whole thing. I don't know if he's even still alive. But
when he saw it and didn't preach it, how was his ministry at the end and after? I mean, was God holding him accountable?
Well, he had a pretty strong prophetic ministry,
mm-hmm.
and he came to church about three times, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of those guys, when they get where they got a little bit of, you know, like. Got some anointing, and God, you know, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, mm-hmm. see, and you can be gifted, but it doesn't mean that you know everything, you know what I mean? It doesn't even mean that you understand everything. You understand what God's using you in that gift, and that's all you understand. You don't understand what it is or why it is at times, but you know he's directing you to pray for somebody or whatever it is, you know. And people have a tendency that they magnify whatever gift they have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of was doing that, you know. But I'm not trying to judge him. I mean, I basically, you know, when he was talking, I thought, you know, he said a lot of good things, you know, and it was good. And I always, anytime I hear anybody, I try to glean, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't reject them. I mean, they can say something I totally disagree with. And I'm not going to say, oh, bless God, I don't agree with that, so I'm not going to, you know. I glean whatever the Holy Spirit is revealing to them, because, you know, it can be something really good, you know. But yet, you know that if they don't see a certain thing or don't understand a certain thing. And I did say to one of the elders here years ago that they needed to quit telling everybody that would come in here, everything that we teach, you know, in the sense that do you believe in this or do you believe in that? Because what you do when you do that, a lot of times you have a tendency that you turn someone off if you believe something deeper or different than what they do, and then that door is never open to you, And I think a lot of our ministries could have maybe possibly went out to some of these other churches, but because they were asked about reconciliation or total reconciliation, right off the bat, that door shut. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, we had, when Van Tanner came here, and me and him and Jim went and played golf, and I told Jim, I said, I wanna ride with him, because I wanted to get to know him. You know, mm-hmm. Jim already knew him because he had dealings with him and stuff, and talked to him and stuff different times. So I went to ride with him, and he told me, he says, you know, he says, when I told him I was coming up here, he said, I was told, and Jim had been down there, I think, at that time. He said, I had been told, be careful, because those people are total wreck, you know, you believe in total reconciliation, you know, they call it total wreck, you know, that's what he meant. And I said, well, look, I said, let me tell you something. I said, you might come in this church, and I said, a lot of times, I said, you might not hear anything said about reconciliation. I said, but the word declares that. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. And I told him, I said, who's imputing their trespasses to them all the time? The church is. You're constantly telling them that. Yeah. And I said, if God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and he's committed unto you the word of reconciliation, that you might go and do the work of reconciliation, I said, then, you know, that's what the church needs to be doing. You know, they need to be reconciling people unto God. And how do you reconcile? You tell them what he's already done. If he's already done it, and it's already been accomplished, then, you know, it's, as far as God's concerned, you know, then your ministry is to tell them what he has done, and tell them they don't have to walk around in guilt and feel and sin. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're reconciled. It's that simple, you know. Total reconciliation. You're totally reconciled, mm-hmm. you know. And but anyway, I talked to him, and that particular night, he got up and he started speaking. And he spoke, whether he realized it or not, he spoke a total reconciliation message. I'm sitting there and I'm smiling because I'm thinking that word hit him in his heart. I know it did. Mm-hmm. And I looked over at Jim and I said, and Jim looked at me and he smiled and he said, and we talked about it a little bit after that. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I said, he might not preach that, but I said, there's a part of him that knows that's the yeah. truth, I said. But you got to be careful, because once you offend someone, then you lost them. You know, then you vote, you, and he would come here, but we never got invited to go there. You know what I mean? And to be honest with you, you know, some of the brothers here could have probably went down there and maybe taught them a thing or two, you know what I mean? But that's the way it goes. I mean, you know, and it's, you know, but I don't know. I'm getting way off the subject here, I guess, you know. But anyway, when we realized that, you know, they knew God as that. Mm-hmm. You know, they knew him as that. And every place that the name God Almighty is in the Old Testament, almost always, there's a change in nature of somebody, you know.
And I see some people now, it's Yahweh, that's all, it's like, they believe, you know, and they'll speak, won't speak like God or Jesus or nothing. They, you know, even on Facebook, I see people say that, some people I've known, you know.
Yeah.
And they,
well,
I don't think they fully even understand.
They don't. They're getting offended at that word of reconciliation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know, if you study into that word a little bit, you'll find that it means to compound a difference, one of the meanings, but it's different word, it's different translation, it's different definitions. To compound something, if you, what happens if you take, let's say you take a glass of water, I'll make it real simple. Let's say you take a glass of water and you heat it and you got it sitting there on the table. It's a glass of water. Mm-hmm. Throw a tea bag in it and see what happens. Still a glass of water, mm-hmm. but it becomes tea. Mm-hmm. Two different natures, they become one nature. Mm-hmm. And that's what that compounding the difference means. You know, yes, you are man, but you are a son of God at the same time. And God always intended for you to be a son of God. And when he said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, may have dominion, that was his purpose. He never deviated from that purpose. There's no place in the Bible where you can tell me he deviated from that purpose, because he really didn't. But yet, the fulfillment of that word was when Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled that word. Because that's why you must be born again. Well, born what? Born of the water and of the Spirit. Well, the water is a type of the word and of the Spirit of God. Well, when you're born again, you throw the tea bag in the and what really happens is the thing inside of you,
yes,
that was being laid dormant is all of a sudden mixing with your natural self and you know, it's becoming a new creation man.
Yes.
You know. And you know, it's really, really, really simple. All this stuff is really very simple. But you know, a lot of times when people try to explain it, they make it too complicated. And you know, but you know, and then there's another scripture where it talks about reconciliation, where they use the word reconciliation, and it actually says fully reconciled. Well, when you do something fully, what can you do beyond that?
No.
You can't. It's fully done.
Complete.
It's complete. It's fully done.
It's whole.
Yeah. And see, I think a couple of weeks ago when I talked about the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, mm-hmm. you know, and that word for perfect has the meaning of a full-aged man.
Yes.
Well, what is a full-aged man? Look and see what the Bible says. When you come to the unity of the faith, unto what? A full-aged man, see? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when you're the measure of the stature of something, you're just like it.
Yes.
You know. And but we have to come into the unity of the faith. And for me, God showed me the word for the meaning of the word faith. You know, yeah, it's believing and it's this and it's that and all that kind of stuff. But the definition I felt like he gave me was believing in the truth. Who is the truth?
Jesus.
Is there any other truth than him? No. Believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. And what is the truthfulness of God? Whatever he declares. Mm-hmm. And whatever he declares in his word or whatever he declares to you personally, that's the truthfulness of God. And if you believe it, then you'll walk in faith. And without faith, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, you have to believe that he is a present tense, now word. It's a right now word. Is. When something is, it is. It ain't was, it ain't will be. It is right now.
Present
tense. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, what's the reward? He told Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward.
Yes.
It's him. He's the great reward. Oh. His nature coming forth in you, that's the great reward. You know, there is no greater reward than that. You know. Well, praise the Lord. We got off subject a little bit here. I don't know if we really did or not, but Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. If you get a chance, mark that in your Bible.
Yes.
Sixth chapter of Exodus. And
one to three or four.
When you realize that when he said that they didn't know me by that name, you know, and that means they didn't know me by that nature or that character, you know.
Yes.
And if you go up into the New Testament in Revelations, you'll see God Almighty mentioned up there a little bit too, you know. Praise the Lord. You want a closing word of prayer
yes,
for us?
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us, making us known of you and you known of us, oh God, that we may become all that you have purposed us to be. We ask, oh God, that you just be glorified in the following service. May you be lifted and exalted, for we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.